And before we sing that hymn, would you bow with me for a word of prayer? Our Father God in heaven, our Lord, we so humbly bow before your mighty throne, Father. Our Lord, we're just so thankful that you've blessed each and every one of us here, Father, with another day of life and the health and the strength to rise up out of our beds, that we can openly assemble together, Father, and worship thee in spirit and in truth here this morning, Father. Lord, we're mindful of all those that wanted to be here but couldn't, and pray that you'd bless them to be back here, Father. We also pray, Lord, that all of our acts of worship unto thee this morning would be most pleasing and acceptable unto thee, and would be in accordance with thy will and word, Father. And Lord, we ask these and all things in the name of thy Son, Christ Jesus. Amen.
Good morning. 379. Sing verses 1 and 3. 1 and 3.
I walk with the King to heavenly land. The kingdom of God, the pathway of earth. Eternal His throne, forever built to mansions on high. I walk with my King through paths of green. I climb waters to do His will. He lighteth the way from darkness to day. I hold to His hand. I walk with the King. I walk with the King. Though dark is the way, He gives us true life, the kingdom of heaven. Someday I'm not sure. I'll hear His voice say, come home, you're my child, to this evening passage. I walk with the King through paths of green, by quiet waters still. To do His good will, He lighteth the way from darkness to day. I hold to His hand. I walk with the King.
Before we go into God in prayer this morning, please turn to hymn books, page 460. 460. We'll sing all three verses.
Jesus, my heavenly King, loves me, I know. Praises to Him I sing, onward I go. Closely to Him I cling, blessings shall flow. I love my Savior too. You know that I love my Savior. He loves me too. Every day.
Shall we pray? Our most kind and loving Heavenly Father, we're so thankful unto you, Heavenly Father. Thankful unto you for giving us another day, Heavenly Father, allowing us this opportunity to come together, worship service unto you, Heavenly Father, to praise thy name, Heavenly Father, to partake in this worship service in accordance to thy will, Heavenly Father. And we so thank you, Heavenly Father, for this beautiful world that you have created for us. We can marvel at thy greatness, marvel at thy love that you have for each and every one of us to provide us with everything that we need in this life, Heavenly Father, for all thy blessings, Heavenly Father, that you continue to bless us with each and every day, Heavenly Father. And as we look at this world, Heavenly Father, as vast as this world is, as many people that are in this world that know, Heavenly Father, that you are watching over each and every one of us, Heavenly Father, to know that you are always by our side, Heavenly Father, that we have this avenue of prayer in which we can come to you, Heavenly Father, any time, any hour of the day, any minute of the day, Heavenly Father, with any problem that we may face. And we don't have to face anything alone, Heavenly Father. That we can pray to you for guidance, for comfort, Heavenly Father, to deal with any problem that we may face, Heavenly Father. And we're so thankful to you for that, Heavenly Father. We just pray, Heavenly Father, that we will continue to set the right example, Heavenly Father, as Christians, that we will, we face any adversity, Heavenly Father, that we will handle it in a way that a Christian should handle it, and not as the world would handle it, Heavenly Father. And we just pray at this time, Heavenly Father, that you will be with our brother Gilbert Baldwin as he prepares to bring us the lesson for this morning. We're so grateful unto him, Heavenly Father, for taking the time to put together this lesson. Put together these lessons each and every week, Heavenly Father. We pray that we will give him our undivided attention, and that which we learned today that we will be able to apply to our daily lives, Heavenly Father. And we just pray, Heavenly Father, that you would be with all those that were mentioned sick, that you continue to be by their side, Heavenly Father, as they are on the mend, that you be with those that are looking after them so that they may be returned to their much wanted health. Be with any that may be traveling at this time, Heavenly Father. Keep them safe as they travel to and from their destination. And we just pray, Heavenly Father, that you'll watch us as we begin this new week, Heavenly Father. as we know, we are not promised tomorrow, Heavenly Father. We pray that we will just always follow the right examples, Heavenly Father, that we will avoid any temptations that we may face, Heavenly Father. We just pray that you will continue to forgive us of our sins. For these things we ask for in thy Son Jesus' name. Amen.
Before we partake in the Lord's Supper this morning, please turn to hymn books to page 296. 296. Sing verses 1, 2, and 4. 1, 2, and 4.
On a hill far away, stood a old rugged cross, the emblems of grief and shame, and I oh.
Our order of worship service is now the Lord's Supper. This is a specific time we have to remember Christ Jesus, to remember him and what he did for each and every one of us. In Romans chapter 5, verses 8, the Bible reads that God demonstrated his own love towards us, and that while we were sinners, Christ died for each and every one of us. Before us, we have two emblems. We have the bread of life that represents the body of Christ Jesus that was crucified on the cross at Calvary. And we have the cup as the fruit of the vine that represents his shed blood that was shed for many for the remission of sin. We now have the privilege to give thanks for the bread. We are grateful and so thankful, Father, for the precious body of Christ Jesus that hung on the cross at Calvary, and he willingly gave his life so that we would have life and have it more abundantly. We are thankful that we have this privilege to remember him on the first day of each and every week. We're grateful and thankful that we can praise you for allowing him to die for us. We give you all the praise, we give you honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's continue in our thanks for the fruit of the vine. Our Father God in heaven, our Lord, we so humbly bow before thy mighty throne, Father. At this time, Lord, we're ever mindful and thankful for thy Son, our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus, Father, for his willingness to go to the cross, willingness to come down to earth, Father, to live the perfect life that he did and ultimately become that perfect Lamb of God, Father. The shedding of blood that cleanses us from all unrighteousness, Lord. And we're so thankful for Christ Jesus, Father. And at this time, Lord, as we have that opportunity to partake of that cup, that fruit of the vine, which represents his shed blood, Father, we pray, Lord, that you help us to clear our hearts, Father, clear our minds, reflect back to the cross, Father, reflect back to Christ, that in doing so, Lord, we might partake of this in a way and in a manner that's most pleasing and acceptable unto thee, Father. And we ask these things, Lord, in the name of thy Son, Christ Jesus. Amen.
we now have the privilege and the honor to give back to God the first fruits of our labor. We are commanded to lay by in store and to give back as God has prospered us to do so. Let us bow and give thanks. Father, we thank you for the best of health and strength that you bestow upon each and every one of us. And we're so grateful and so thankful for all of the ways and the means that you provide for each and every one of us on a daily basis. And we're so grateful and so honored and thankful to be able, Father, to give back in the name of Jesus. For we thank you and we praise you. Amen.
If you would, mark your hymn books to page 876. 876, that would be our song that we heard this morning. After marking that, please turn to page 971. 971. I'd like to ask all those that can stand to stand. We'll sing all three.
By all time was every hand, and we can understand all the ways that God will lead us to that blessed promised land. For if you guide us with His eye, then we'll follow through the night. We will understand His hand. I am honored in my mind. Yeah.
If you would, open up your Bible to John chapter 5. We'll be reading from verses 1 through 9 before our sermon, Rise, Take Up That Bed, and Walk. And our speaker will be our brother Gilbert Baldwin. I'll be reading from the King James Version. If you'd like to follow, I'll begin. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem, by the sheep market, a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath. And now our brother Gilbert Baldwin.
Good morning, everyone. It is a delight to see everyone and be in the Lord's house one more time. The Lord has been so good, hasn't He? He has been so merciful to us. He has blessed us, and He has allowed us to see another day. You know, we should all take time out of our busy schedule just to thank God for this privilege that He has given unto us. We want to say welcome to all of our guests, all of our visitors. Certainly happy you've come our way today. We hope your visit today will be uplifting and rewarding for you. read into your hearing our scripture text, John chapter 5, verses 1 through 9. I'd like to use for a subject this morning the very command that Jesus gave this man. When he told him, "Rise, take up thy bed, and walk." Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. Truly, John's gospel is one that impresses upon the reader that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And if we will believe this, we all will have life through him and through his blessed name. John chooses seven wonderful, miraculous gifts to prove beyond the shadow of a doubt that Jesus truly is the great Messiah. He truly is the God who came and tabernacled in flesh. The one that we just read is the third miraculous sign. When we leave this miracle, we ought to leave impressed with Jesus of having the ability to heal and to save every man desirous and needing salvation here today. I believe this pool and the fact that there was a great number of impotent folk, which means these people were with problems, with diseases. They were without strength. Some were blind, some were halt, some were withered. But when Jesus went through this area in Jerusalem, he was on his way to the temple in order to demonstrate to the world his purpose for coming into our world. And that is, he came to seek and to save those that are lost. Jesus said, "I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." Jesus saw this as a time to show the world that we all somehow are around that pool. We might not have those physical maladies, but every person that's in our world today has a need for Jesus to somehow come and repair, rehabilitate, to cure, and to strengthen those of us who live. This pool is a microcosm of the world in which we live. You and I should be thankful that Jesus came and he chose the most chronic of all of the maladies that were there. There was a man who had been 38 long years in his case. But that's good about that is that the Bible says Jesus knew his case. He knew his condition. You don't ever have to broadcast to Jesus what your problem is. The Lord already knows what your problem is. That's the beauty of this lesson. And that is that John's gospel has a motif in it that no man ever had to say anything, for he knew what was in the man. He knew what was in the woman at the well. She didn't have to tell him that she didn't have a husband. He knew that she had had five, and the one she had then was not hers. Nicodemus did not have to tell Jesus his purpose for coming. He already knew why Nicodemus had come. And so when we meet Jesus and this man at the same time, Jesus chose this man. He already knew about him. He knew his condition. You and I ought to find comfort in knowing that you come to the house of God today. And the Lord has already been to where you are. He knows why you are here. And therefore, you and I are blessed. I want to look at this lesson in three different ways. I want to look at the question. Then secondly, I want to look at the command. And thirdly, I want to look at that challenge that Jesus gave this man. Number one, he asked the man a question. He said, "Wilt thou be made whole?" You can never be made better until you answer that question. He said, "Wilt thou be made whole?" Now, the man could have said, "Inasmuch as I've been in this case for 38 years, and the fact that you know I've been in this case 38 years, why ask me? Why you ask me when you already know that I want to be made whole?" But Jesus asked the question, number one, to reveal to this man his hopelessness. The man answered the question saying, "I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool." Now think about that. He said, "I have no man." Now, for him to say, "I have no man," that said that he can never be healed because of or by man, because when the water is troubled, he has no man to put him into the pool. The remedy is there, but he has no man. That means maybe he has no family. He has no friends. The man evidently doesn't have enough money to hire a servant to put him into the pool when the water is troubled. His condition is a hopeless condition. But you know, our Lord majors in hopeless conditions. And when you're in a hopeless condition, or one that you think is hopeless, what I'm trying to say is that the Lord has come. And if the Lord can help this man, then the Lord can help any man. He can help you today. He can help me today. The question is, do you want to be made whole? He also wanted that man to understand that the paralysis in his legs should never become a paralysis in his heart. Jesus had to shake him, wake him, and ask him, "Are you really content in this condition? Are you really satisfied living like this, not being able to get into the pool?" You know, some people have been in a situation so long that they no longer desire to be helped. Jesus wanted to know, do you want to be helped? You've got to answer that question. You've got to face that question. And when you do, you're on your way to being healed. He also asked the question to show him that that pool was really insignificant. It was not something that this man could put his trust in, because there's another who steppeth down before him. Anything that is not of God, in terms of bringing about ultimate real healing, and if it's not from God, if it's man-made, know for a fact, somebody else step in front of you, step down before you. You see, you've got to have something where everybody will have a fair chance. You know, you've been waiting in line for your chance, for your opportunity. Someone jumps in front of you and steps down before you. You know that's not satisfactory. But Jesus came and he asked this man, "Do you want to be made whole?" And then Jesus wanted to reveal to this man that there is hope. And that's what Jesus wants all of us to know now. There is hope. Whenever he asked this man, "Do you want to be saved? Do you want to be made better? Do you want to be made whole? Do you want?" That is the question. Do you want a better home? Do you want to be a better father? Do you want to be a better mother? Do you want to be a better teenager? You've got to answer that question, and you've got to answer that question right before the Lord can ever help you. Some people get caught up in a condition whereby they are satisfied. You don't need to be satisfied where you are. The Lord can make it better. I say the Lord can make it better. But do you want to be made whole? Well, let me hasten on. He gave the man a command. He said, "Rise, take up thy bed, and walk." Well, that's not one command. That's three, isn't it? Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. Reason some people never get better is because they try to walk before they rise. There is a process in healing. That means that the individual must take the right steps. Get up first, take up your bed, then walk. Don't try to walk before you rise. Don't try to walk before you take up your bed. Healing is a process. Healing is a process. Rise. Take up that bed and walk. Well, when it comes to Jesus, brother, and for someone to come and tell you to rise, if I were to come and stand in front of Brother Bob, And I would say, rise. Now, he's been in that condition for 38 years. Trust me, he's got 38 more years to go. Right. Brother Greg would come, stand in front of him and say, rise. He's got 48 more years to go. The point I'm trying to make here is that it makes a difference who tells you to rise. Now, we know this man has been in this condition for 38 years. Jesus said, rise. Now, the man could have said, what do you mean, rise? I've been in this case for 38 years. If I could get up, I would have got up a long time ago. But you don't know who that is standing in front of you telling you to rise. Man, that's Jesus talking to you. Jesus, who is the Word. He was with God. He is God who created the world whenever he spoke. Power is in the Word. The Word became flesh, remember? Dwelt among men. Now, that's not an ordinary man standing before that invalid. That's Jesus Christ. So there's power in the Word of Jesus. When he said, rise, immediately, strength and power went all down through the man's leg. The man got up immediately. He didn't wait around. Now, the next thing is get your bed. Fold up your bed. Why did Jesus tell the man to fold up his bed? You want to know, don't you? Well, I'm going to tell you. Jesus told that man to fold up that bed. That bed represented 38 years of suffering, pain, negativism, darkness. That bed symbolized hard times. No future. But when I get you up, fold up that bed. Fold up that negativism. Fold up those bad times in that past. Fold it up. Because when I get you up, brother, when you start walking, you're going to keep on walking. That's the power of Jesus. I tell you, a lot of people, what happens is when they get up, they want to keep that old bed. And they see, if you're not careful, you'll find yourself drifting back to that old bed. Let's say the Lord is going to help you get over alcohol. Then you need to fold up your bed. Now, what I mean by folding up your bed is get Johnny Walker out of the cupboard. Right? Don't leave it convenient. Get it out of the house. Pour it out. Break the bottle. Throw it away. Now, if you've been tipping around on your lady, on your wife, and the Lord helps you to get out of that mess, fold up the bed means burn up the black book, right? Burn it up. Tear that page out and burn the whole book up. Get rid of that address. Someone said, well, I got it memorized. Get it out of your mind, right? Fold up your bed. Burn up that book. Get rid of it. Get it off of your computer if you're going to go that way. And then he told the man, walk. And I'm going to tell you, Jesus didn't just come to give people back their physical abilities to walk. That miracle was for the purpose of helping us to see that he helps us to walk spiritually. Yes, the whole essence is a spiritual lesson. That is, the Lord can help this man with his physical disabilities. What can he do for me with all of my sin? Sin is something that all of us are guilty of. You can sit there looking pretty if you want to. I know you're handsome, smelling good. But deep down inside, there is something else. And that's eating away at every one of us. And that something is called sin. You look like you're whole, but you're really not. Be honest with yourself. You know you need help. Be honest with yourself. You know you need to be at the pool. Be honest with yourself. You know you need Jesus. Be honest with yourself. You know that somebody else is always stepping down before you. Be honest. Jesus came to show this man that I can get you beyond these human remedies. Power is in Jesus, not in man. Therefore, I'm glad that you and I can get rid of our sins. How do we do it? The same way the lame man did it. The word was effective, effectual in this man's life. The word of God is powerful. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 4 and the verse is 12. For the word of God is quick, it's powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. The word has power. The word can penetrate. Get down between the very joints and the marrow. Get down between the spirit and the soul. It can discern the thoughts and the intents of our hearts. Word of God. Jesus said, the flesh profited nothing, but the spirit giveth life. Words which I speak, they are spirit and they are life. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. What is the power? The power is in the gospel. Power is in the word of God. You can hear the gospel. But if you will believe the gospel, as this man had to believe Jesus, believe the word, believe the gospel, believe that Jesus died for us. Believe that he rose again from the grave. Believe that with all of your heart. Then he tells us to repent. Luke 13 and 3, confess him to be the Son of God. Matthew 10, 32. Go down in that watery grave of baptism. And when you come up, immediately your sins are washed away. The blood of Jesus keeps on covering us. If you want to be made whole, you've got to adhere to the process. And that is hearing, believing, repenting of your sins, being baptized, confessing also. My last point. I like the fact that the Bible says this man walked. He didn't crawl. He walked. Yes, he did. Over in John chapter 5, I want to know what direction did this man walk? Because you see, a lot of folk, the reason they don't stay whole, they don't walk in the right direction. You see, some folk, when they get well, they forget what got them well. They forget about how they used to live. You see? Some say, yeah, man, well, you know, I'm doing all right now, so I don't have anything to worry about. I'm just fine. But before you know it, you can slip on back to the way you used to be. Let's find out where this man walked in John chapter 5, verse 14. What does the Bible say? It says, afterwards, Jesus findeth him in the temple. Ah, now this is after he had been healed, after he had folded up his bed. It didn't say afterwards Jesus found him at his girlfriend's house. Nope. It didn't say afterwards Jesus found him at the bar. Nope. It said afterwards Jesus found him in the temple. So, when he got his ability back to walk, and he had a choice to go anywhere he wanted to go, he found himself walking to the temple. So you better make your way to the Lord's house if you want to stay whole. Now here's the challenge. Jesus said to him, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing will come to you. Now, what could be worse than 38 years? Well, if you don't walk in the right direction, if you continue to sin, you thought 38 years was tough. He said, a worse thing is going to happen to you. So what we got to do, we got to walk in the right direction. In my conclusion, here's what we've got to do. Walk in the right direction. When the Lord said, walk in the right direction, the psalmist said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight, is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And then what else is going to happen? He says, you will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his leaf in his season. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Why? Because he's walking in the right direction. Oh, that's beautiful. Let me give you one more. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 says, if we walk in the right, the light, see, we've got to walk in the light. As he is in the light, we will have fellowship. That's the word. Fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanseth. That's a long word. Cleanseth us, which is a continuous process. That means that every day, got to have something that will keep me clean, cleanse me, keep me on making me whole, keep me right, get me on the right track. The blood of Jesus keeps on cleansing. You know, I've used this one before. When you're driving your car and it starts to rain, you got to turn on that windshield wiper. And those wipers just go this way and that way and this way and that way. You know what I'm talking about. And you have to, because the rain keeps coming down. The rain keeps on hitting that windshield. So those wipers have to keep going this way and that way and this way and that way. Because the rain just won't stop. Keeps hitting the windshield, right? You know what? Sin won't leave us alone. So the blood of Jesus has to keep on cleansing. This way and that way and this way. Every day we need the blood of Jesus to keep us clean. The blood cleanses us. The blood makes us whole. What shall wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Well, I'm going to ask you the same question that Jesus asked this man. Do you want to be made whole? If you do, all things are ready. Jesus said, come just as you are. If you are already a member, strayed away, been unfaithful, and done things you know you shouldn't have done, why don't you come back today? Come back to the body, be restored to the body of Christ today. And so, while truth, love, and mercy linger, make that choice for Jesus, while together we stand and sing.
Would you be free from the burden of sin that far in the blood, far in the blood? Would you or me fall of victory win that wonderful path in the blood? There is power. In the blood of the Lamb, there is power, power wonder-working power, in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's wonderful work in the blood. There is power, wonder-working God in the blood of the Lamb. There is power. In the blood of the Lamb.